what's up? Welcome back to another episode of 200 and Counting. I'm your host, Tia Hill, and I'm really, really excited for this week's episode and for the documentary for this episode of the podcast because I have been obsessed with it ever since I watched it a few weeks ago. It was so good. You know, I cover a lot of different topics on the podcast, and so I wanted with this documentary to cover a topic that I don't think that I've explored before at all on the podcast, and I know for a fact that this documentary is going to go down as a classic. It's called Disclosure, and it's all about the history of trans representation in Hollywood and in the media and in popular culture.
There is a one-word solution to almost all the problems in trans media. We just need more.
So over the last decade or so, I feel like we've had a few shows that have had like really, really good trans representation on television and in movies. You know, we had Orange is the New Black, which had Laverne Cox, who is a wonderful trans actress, and she plays a major, major role in this series. And because it was so popular at the time, I think it came out like 2014, and it rose to like international fame, and she became like super, super famous.
Not just LGBTQ people are coming to me saying that they relate to this character. A lot of straight identified folks say that I feel more comfortable being myself because of this character.
We have Euphoria.
The fact that labels are sort of left out of the story is one of my favorite elements. I think it lets the characters breathe.
We've got shows like Pose on FX, which I'm obsessed with and I will be talking about later.
Brings an experience of a marginalized group of people to the perspective, to the bedrooms and to the homes of people who are otherwise not in proximity to these people.
All of these TV shows and pieces of media have trans people as major characters in their narratives, and they give trans people exposure and representation in the mainstream. Also, High Maintenance on HBO. I'm also obsessed with that show. Their last season had some really good trans representation as well. You know, we have all these really good examples, but what Disclosure talks about is how we got to this point. We still have a long way to go in terms of protecting trans people just in general, and also in how trans people are seen on screen. But the point of the documentary is to kind of highlight the journey that trans people have gone through in terms of how they've been seen on screen. Like right now we have Pose on FX, which is like a bunch of different trans people of color, but we also still have trans people who are being murdered in the street just for being trans. And many of these people are Black and they're people of color. That is a huge issue in terms of how people in everyday life and in society accept trans people into our society outside of the screen. People are still bugging out over gender neutral bathrooms. Like, it's literally just a bathroom. I do not understand that. Like, what are you doing in a public bathroom that you're getting so heated about who the hell else is in there? I want to take the time to define some terms that I'm going to be using because I think it's really important for us to be on the same page in terms of understanding the language around certain topics. Even if we don't personally identify with the group that's being talked about, it's really important to use the right terms and the right language and to really just understand what the hell is going on, to be good allies and also just to be good people in general. Like, you just need to know how to talk to people. So cis or cisgender is a term for people whose gender identity matches their sex assigned at birth, because gender and what you identify with in terms of whether or not you feel like you're a man or a woman or non-binary, whatever the case may be, is different than sex, which is like your just like biology, I guess you could say. And transgender, trans obviously refers to someone whose gender identity is different from their sex assigned at birth. Just wanted to go through those, put them out there, because I do know people who, you know, cis people who genuinely do not know what these terms mean, and that is okay. It's a safe space, but it's like, let's just get over it now and just learn so we know. So Disclosure focuses specifically on the representation of trans people in the media. And now the thesis of the documentary is something that is very true about media representations just across the board, which is that we, the public and the audience, we look to TV shows, we look to movies to understand the world around us and the people around us, and to understand worlds and people that we aren't actually around and worlds that we aren't actually part of. And so they talk about this stat about how most Americans said that they don't actually know any trans people, which means that most people are getting their understanding of what it means to be trans and who trans people are from television. That would be cool if there were good representations of trans people on television. It becomes a problem if the way trans people are being presented on television is inaccurate, or if it's full of stereotypes, or if it's just like straight up dead wrong.
According to a study from GLAAD, 80% of Americans don't actually personally know someone who is transgender. So most of the information that Americans get about who transgender people are, what our lives are and are about, comes from media.
So they start off the documentary talking about the history of trans representation in the media, which actually goes back further than you might think. I was very, very surprised to hear about this. And throughout the documentary, we see different clips from different time periods, and we see how filmmakers use seemingly like gender nonconforming characters in scenes and movies. So it wasn't necessarily that at the time they had the language around what it meant to be trans, but it was more so like the way filmmakers were presenting characters who did not fit into the specific gender binaries of male or female. And one of the very, very first was good old D.W. Griffith. And by good old, I mean racist as hell. Because if you remember from the episode, I believe 13th that I did on the podcast, I mentioned that D.W. Griffith directed Birth of a Nation, which is the most racist movie, first movie to ever be screened at the White House, but also the most racist movie. He's a piece of shit. But he was also one of the first people to show a gender nonconforming character on screen. And it wasn't necessary. It was not in a positive way. So don't, you know, give him props for that. Man, he sucked.
There's a claim that this is one of the first films that we know of where the cut in the film is used to advance the story. And there's a kind of like trans or, you know, gender non-binary character who is kind of circulating around the cut.
And so the documentary weaves through decades and decades and generations of not necessarily, as I said, not necessarily trans representation per se, because a lot of times they didn't have the language to truly describe people's experiences, but it was a mix of representation of people who were kind of like bending the constraints of gender, cross-dressing. And it just really, it draws for you a map of how gender nonconforming and trans people had the opportunity to like see themselves and kind of get a glimpse into their world and who they wanted to be according to Hollywood. Now, one of the main and one of the most problematic portrayals of trans characters in movies and on television is a lot of times movies and TV shows will give you a character that's not a trans person, but the character is a man, an actor who we know to be a man dressed as a woman. And that is not a trans woman. That is a man dressed as a woman. And they explain how this has a really, really huge impact, not only on how trans people see themselves, but also on how men, specifically straight cis men, react to trans women, specifically to their friends being involved with trans women. Because to them, now when they see a trans woman, they see a man rather than a woman.
In my mind, part of the reason that men end up killing trans women out of fear that other men will think that they're gay for having been with trans women is that the friends, the men whose judgment they're fear of, only know trans women from media, and the people who are playing trans women are the men that they know.
And also, it's just like no straight cis man, no matter how good an actor he is, can truly capture the emotion of playing a person whose identity he cannot resonate with. And that also just seems like inherently kind of fucked up. Like, I cannot even imagine being on set and it's like you're playing this trans person, but everyone knows that you are not. Everyone's just okay with this. Like, what are the conversations? That's just so weird. But one thing I think they did a really good job of was talking about intersectionality and how a lot of times it's different when it comes to Black men in Hollywood, because Black men in Hollywood, there's this huge trope, this weird obsession in the Black community with movies that star Black men who dress up like Black women, and it's always like a comedy. And I'm not just talking about like, you know, light dress up to play a character. No, I'm talking about a full-on bodysuit. I'm talking Big Mama's House, Norbit, Madea, all those types of movies where you're doing full-on like wig, makeup, you know, fake boobs, like everything.
He lays on the couch and he drinks all day. He's trifling. I have to pay all the bills. Kind of like your mama. Now, bye.
All these movies, they are extremely misogynistic and they often feed into so many stereotypes about Black women because they always come out and they're like, I know that's right. Madea gonna beat his ass, whatever, whatever. And like, that's the whole character. And it's like, ha, look at this big Black woman, often darker skinned. Ha ha ha, look, it's so funny. No. But also it plays into stereotypes that larger Black women are less desirable, more overbearing, more aggressive.
Meet a nice guy with a huge problem.
Don't adjust my seat. Look. Typically prove that you are suggesting my seat.
And this primes us to think of, when you see those characters, you think of it as funny. But in the documentary, they talk about how this trend in Hollywood, in a way, they do a really good job of explaining this. They talk about how this trend in Hollywood, in a way, kind of seeks to emasculate Black men and make them more palatable for white mainstream audiences. Because it's like using humor to kind of be like, oh, look at him dressed as a woman, to take away from the perceived threat of the Black man, who we've talked about many, many times in this podcast, are often stereotyped as being inherently violent, inherently dangerous, inherently whatever. So by doing this, it kind of is like, oh, look, it's funny, haha. Like, they're not scary anymore. And that is all deeply, deeply messed up, because in the end, that primes people who are watching, who are not trans, to laugh when they see, you know, they think that's funny. Like, that's all comedy to them. And then in the documentary, they talk about how this leads to some of the most common reactions to trans characters and thus to trans people in real life are either humor, because that's what's shown in television and movies.
I can't even tell you how many times I've been in public space, particularly early in my transition, when I would walk into a subway car and people were just
burst into laughter. And I think people are been trained to have that reaction.
Or more often than not, people react with absolute disgust, because so many times in movies and television shows, main characters will find out a character in a film is trans, and then they have this overdramatic ass response to it. Either they hooked up with a person or they like the person, whatever the case may be. They're just like so disgusted by it, which is like kind of homophobic and kind of transphobic, and it's like all kinds of phobic.
Einhorn is a man! Oh my God! Einhorn is a man!
And again, that ends up in real life manifesting itself into violence against trans women. In movies, though, it's interesting because they mention how trans characters are often what's called the foil for the male character, the cis male character. And in storytelling, the foil is a character whose whole purpose, they're basically there to help the main character realize something or to become a better person. So that character's traits are often really, really different from the main character. Like, for example, they'll be like some wild child or they'll be like crazy. And so then the main character, through them, learns how to let loose. And that'll be like the plot.
The trans person is invented to facilitate the growth of the straight white man.
Showing up with all the piss and vinegar and sassiness to wake up this guy and shake up the assumptions. Okay, she's done that. He's on his way. Oh.
And for trans people, that's often the character that they end up playing. They're there to teach someone, damn, maybe I should be less fucking hateful. Maybe I shouldn't be so hateful. Or like, wow, maybe I am a nice person because I talk to this person and they're different than me. Some bullshit like that. So they usually end up, you know, playing that kind of role. And they don't have their own story, but their story really only serves to further the interests of the main character. But also, they usually end up playing the role of a sex worker, or they end up dying, or something tragic and horrible happens to them. So it's like the trans characters, you know, they could be there, but they don't get to live full lives and have storylines and be normal people. Their story is just like, oh my God, it's so tragic. Ah, oh my God, damn. Okay, well, they're dead. And that's them on TV. And of course, because intersectionality matters, which is the intersection of race and, you know, gender identity, this is an even bigger problem for Black trans people and people of color who are trans. We all already get cast in these stereotypical ass roles, you know, like I'm sure every race has their own stereotypical role that they end up playing. And so you add one more layer of oppression to that, you add being trans, and then it's like, well, that's a wrap.
I have been a prostitute one, prostitute two, call girl, hooker.
I was on a lot of hospital shows. I died a lot.
And so if you are a person of color, an LGBTQ person, a person who's an immigrant, a person with a disability, you develop a critical awareness because you understand that the images that you're seeing are not your life.
Now, in terms of just in general, like media representations of trans people, one thing they mentioned that I think is really, really interesting and true is that the media has this weird fixation on trans people's genitals and what's between their legs. And people will ask trans people on live TV, which is crazy to me. They played some of these clips. I was like, that is out of pocket. I cannot believe people are just asking people shit like this. People will ask trans people on screen during an interview. It'll be live or something in front of a studio audience. They'll be asking them these inappropriate questions that would be wild. You would never ask a cis person anything about like about them having sex in a live. You would not do that on national TV. And yet they had so many clips back to back to back. Some of them honestly were relatively recent, which is fucking embarrassing. But there are people straight up asking about their surgeries and asking what is between your legs.
I just did my nose. I got my breast done. Just little things that I've always wanted to do. Nothing that was, you know, that important, honestly. But the medication.
But I mean, your private parts are different now, aren't they?
Which is wildly inappropriate. You do not do that. Also, it's crazy because those people just have no boundaries. And they had this whole montage of people asking like these really off-putting questions. And I was like, this is really disturbing and we need to do better. The documentary goes back and they explain trans people are often portrayed either as a joke or they're over-sexualized and they're there to be scrutinized by mainstream media. And then they talk about, like I said earlier, intersectionality and the intersection of race and all of these trans issues, because in a lot of the early clips that they're showing, there's not a lot of Black or POC representation of trans people in media. There's already bad representations, but most of them are white. And so a big turning point in that sphere was the release of the documentary Paris is Burning in 1990.
This movie is about ball circuit,
a competition amongst gay people.
under one roof.
It's like crossing into the looking glass.
I used to love this documentary. I used to love Me Some Paris Is Burning. Oh my gosh. It follows the ballroom scene in New York in the 80s. You know, they're voguing, they're dancing. There's different categories. And it's mainly Black people. It's mainly people of color living it up, coming up with all these dance moves that got popular, all these slang terms that got popular. All that came from the LGBT community back then. It's shot beautifully. It tells just such emotional stories. I've seen it so many times. And it interviews the people who are in this world, you know, the trans people of color from back then. And, you know, they're telling a story and they're like, yeah, this is how I got here. And this is what I don't do, blah, 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 blah.
I always had hopes of being a big star. Everybody wants to leave something behind them, some impression, some mark upon the world. I think it's better to just enjoy it. If you shoot an arrow and it goes real high, hooray for you.
But then the cast came out and they said that they felt exploited by the filmmaker. And I was like, damn. And listen, that is a very, very fair point. It is a very voyeuristic look at the world from the lens of someone who I believe is a white cis woman. She was not in the scene. And so, yeah, looking back at it, it's like, it's wrong as hell. In one of the previous episodes of the podcast about Dark City, when TT the Artist came on and she talked about how your role as a filmmaker is like, you can't be exploiting people like that. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be like changing things. You're just there to watch and be respectful and stuff like that. This film garnered so much international acclaim and these people got nothing. They got no recognition outside of being in the movie. Some of them died and nobody got anything. And mind you, this came out like, you know, there's like the AIDS epidemic going on and people are dying left and right, and what'd they get out of it? Nothing. You know, so that is fucked up. But also, Laverne Cox pointed out that it was still a really important film because it was a good way for trans people of color and young trans people of color to be seen and to see themselves in such a big, big way. So, you know, it's kind of a catch-22, but it was also really, really a good window into that world and for people to kind of learn about something that they may not have otherwise known about. But also, if there were more representations of trans people of color in the first place, then we would not have to lean on picking apart the one representation to make sure that it's perfect. We would have options. But, you know, today we've got a lot more trans representation, like I was saying. You know, specifically, there's Pose, which also follows ballroom culture in the 80s.
So what exactly is a ball?
Balls are a gathering of people who are not welcome to gather anywhere else. Celebration of a life that the rest of the world does not deem worthy of celebration.
I am obsessed with Pose, okay? I am really obsessed with that show to the point where I have not even finished season 2 because I don't want to not have another season. So I'm just really, really inching my way through season 2 because it's so damn good. And a lot of the cast from Pose are in this documentary and they're talking about their own experiences and their experiences as actors and actresses, their experience working on Pose, working on set. You can see trans characters being humanized. They have backstories, you know, they're dynamic characters. They're not just flat characters that get killed off in the first 5 minutes. For me, this documentary was really, really interesting because while I'm someone, yeah, that loves to learn, I have all sorts of friends and know a lot of different things. I think that it's always good to learn more about communities that you're not a part of to really, really understand it. There's also so much I didn't know about the history of trans people in media, which made me want to look more into it and to understand more. I think one of the greatest humps that we have to get over in society and as allies is going out of our way to learn more about different groups so that we can understand. And, you know, people won't be asking dumbass questions if they take the time to learn on their own and be proactive about it and say, oh, okay, I know about that. So I'm not going to go ask somebody a stupid question. But also, I feel like you just don't have any home training if you're just asking people rude questions. But anyway, we're not even talking about that anymore. But that's just an aside. Overall, this documentary, oh, my goodness. 5 stars. No question. It is damn near perfect. I am not even exaggerating. Like, it was really, really touching. And I genuinely learned so, so much. It felt so good to watch it, to finish it. I was like, oh my gosh. Especially as allies, like I was saying, we got to do the damn work and we have to watch things like this. We have to look for more. We have to encourage people to make more. Because like I said, it's not our job to tell other people's stories, but it is our job to help empower other people to have their stories told and to feel like they can tell their story.
Period.
I love a documentary just in general that's about media representation. I know that seems super specific, but it's really interesting to me to see how different groups have been portrayed on television over the years. Because when you think about like the early 1900s or the 1950s, how people saw all sorts of groups. If you look at all of the different races and the stereotypes that and the way they were presented over the years, it's really interesting to see how that changes with the public tide. It's important for young kids who are trans to see themselves on television, to know know, I am validated. I am normal. You know, I'm not weird. And like to feel like they have some kind of representation that they can look up to so that they can grow up and be great and have that confidence. And that was one of the most touching parts of the documentary when they talked about how important that representation really, really is. 5 stars for Disclosure. You need to see this documentary. It keeps your energy up as the viewer the entire time. Okay. It makes you laugh. It makes you cry. It makes you think. It was really, really good. And you know, it does a good job of breaking everything down to even the smallest bit. One of the most powerful moments to me was when they were talking about how people need to see trans people on screen more. Trans men as well are often underrepresented in media. That was something that they brought up. But they were talking about how people need to see trans men and women and trans people on screen a lot more because they need to understand that off camera, that person is a woman. That person is a man. That person, you know, is non-binary. That person is just living their lives and they are normal. And that just is what it is. And people need to open their eyes and understand that there's more people in this world besides just you and your little cohort of friends. I was really, really moved by this documentary, honestly. So I 100% 5 stars. Like, you have to see this. It's on Netflix. Watch it. It's so, so good. A few months ago, I started donating to the Okra Project, which is a New York-based organization that provides Black trans people with meals because trans people, especially Black trans people, are often subject to a lot of violence, are often displaced. There's a high rate of murder of Black trans people. And so it's really important that we do what we can to help. And so I'm going to link to the Okra Project in the description if you feel so moved to donate. If you've watched, if you haven't watched, you know, you want to donate, feel free. There's also some great relief funds linked on their page too if you want to take a little look. But anyway, thank you all so much for listening. If you get a chance, please feel free to leave me a rating and a comment on Apple Podcasts, and I will see you on the next episode.